This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. So happy to always open up the mic. Our good friend Joe George from SB Nation Radio, he's going to power up and get us ready for hour number two. And Summer League Joe is in the rearview mirror. What were your thoughts? How about the Lakers prevailing and coming out on top?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was fun. I think Summer League is definitely something that doesn't mean a ton. We saw the Bulls win the Summer League Championship last year, and Denzel Valentine played great and then couldn't crack the rotation. But, you know, I think the one thing that stands out to me is that, you know, I saw an article just recently about the top-watched games in Summer League, and 5 of the 6 games all included the Lakers. So I think what that means to me is that the Lakers are, and Lonzo Ball is going to be a star, at least in the fans' eyes. And whether that means they want to hate him or they want to love him, you know, people are going to watch Lonzo Ball play basketball, and that's good. That's exciting.
It was amazing to watch the crowds that were at Summer League. How do you see his game now translating into the regular season? I mean, it's one thing to be named the Summer League MVP. History doesn't, you know, bode well, but how do you see that crossing over?
You know, I think the one thing that stands out is his passing. I think that's going to translate really well. But on the negative side, we saw where, like, Dennis Smith Jr. basically could just run by him anytime he wants. So I think what we saw, Alonzo, actually is pretty representative of what we're going to see in the NBA season. Great passing, hot and cold shooting, and really bad defense.
Okay.
That's Lonzo Ball.
You bring up a great point, hot and cold shooting. In order to have consistency with shooting, you got to be a pure shooter. So do you see them, anticipate them kind of, I don't know, going back to the drawing board, working on his shot and tinkering with it a bit? Is that dangerous to do?
It's such a weird shot. I think if you change it, he'll never be good again. I just think you got to kind of
roll with it like Sean Marion?
Yeah, just roll with it. And like Joakim Noah, like those guys who have the funky shots, just let them roll with it and try to find a way to improve it. But it's not like Magic Johnson or anyone can fix that shot as it is now. Like Lonzo's just going to have to work through it himself, take thousands of shots during the summer and put in the work and try to get better himself, because he's the only one that really knows how to correct it. It's going to be hard for anyone to coach when it's already so weird. Like they have no video samples to go off of. So they just got to help he fixes himself.
You've been listening to the voice, Joe George from SB Nation Radio, helping us kick off hour number two. You want to stick around. We've got some great interviews coming your way. That's right. NFL news and notes. Training camp is underway, and we will get you ready right after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. The Open coverage continues, and we are thrilled to have back with us to hit on a number of subjects in marketing and personal brands, and that is the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, that is Adam Grossman. The British Open is underway. We wanted to get his thoughts on some of the best personal brands in golf and in the sport. Good to have you back with us, Adam. Thank you so much for carving out time.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it.
Well, Adam, the British Open, it is underway. And, you know, I think about, you know, 5 years ago, if an average person would be asked about the sport of golf, they probably immediately would think about Tiger Woods. But a lot has changed since then. So what comes to your mind when you think of some of the most recognizable names in golf and how they connect and keep their brands relevant? And, you know, they do a really good job of keeping them marketing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two ends of the spectrum. I think there are people like Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, and even Dustin Johnson, who have used traditional media campaigns, in particular advertising that's tied into the sponsorships of golf tournaments, and using those brands, you know, Ricky Fowler being a good example, either with Farmers Insurance or some of the other companies that he works with, Jordan Spieth with AT&T, tying in those brands into television commercials and really, you know, really focusing on traditional media can be a good way to keep the brand relevant. But probably the most interesting golfer potentially from that perspective is Wesley Bryant, who's somebody who's really came to fame even before he was won a tournament on the PGA Tour, because he created all these YouTube videos with trick shots. And he and couple of his friends, and one of who I think is on the web.com tour, have put together these videos on YouTube and across social media that have generated millions and millions of views. So I think golfers are looking at a wide range, you know, more traditional television commercials where they inject humor into it versus using all the new media tools that are out there, in particular YouTube, social media, and connecting with people in that way.
Hey, the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So what do you think is the key to cultivating and building your own personal brand as an athlete?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is being, and again, this is not something that is probably something that your audience probably knows to a certain extent already, is authenticity, right? It's depending on, you know, you can use humor when it's part, you know, when it makes sense within the context of your brand, right? I'm not sure that Jim Furyk all the time necessarily, I mean, just as an example of somebody who particularly looks serious on the golf course, humor wouldn't necessarily be as big of a way of connecting with fans versus, you know, Bubba Watson and is another example of a golfer who has used new media in particular. He has this tricked out golf cart, and he has all these videos that he posts on posts on YouTube and posts on all different social media channels where it's just him having fun. And he's, you know, given his swing and given the way that he has cultivated his image, you know, he is can be very serious on the course. In particular, he often yells at himself during rounds. But you know, most of the people would know him as somebody who's kind of free-swinging, freewheeling, and the idea of leveraging that authenticity of your brand as something that could be used is something that I think golfers, when they're looking to market their brands and looking to connect with their corporate partners, is something that really can help them build an audience.
Well, you know, Adam, the gentleman that set the bar so high, of course, was Arnold Palmer. I mean, he taught us a lot about branding, you know, yourself, and he really was the blueprint, a true pioneer, and had so much success, of course, on the golf course with seven, you know, major titles. But what an incredible influence he had in the sports marketing industry, and how he really created a template for athletes on how to become an entrepreneur within your own sport.
Yeah, arguably, you know, his impact off the course is significantly higher than his impact on the course. And he was a really, as you said, he was a great golfer. But, you know, he was, even up until his death, and I think even now after he passed away, he's still the highest grossing or one of the highest grossing golfers, or athletes overall, golfers in particular, right now, given all the ties he had from a corporate partnership perspective. So, and it's that brand of authenticity, engagement, you know, being able to connect with people in an authentic way that really drove people's attraction to Arnold Palmer. And then there were things that developed that, you know, he didn't necessarily control. In particular, you know, probably the most famous example is the Arnold Palmer drink, which, you know, he was definitely somebody who, he had Arnold Palmer's, and there's even an ESPN commercial about him drinking an Arnold Palmer. But, you know, the idea of that taking off the way it did was not necessarily something that he specifically was trying to do. So it's just that authentic engagement and leveraging different platforms to create authentic engagement with audiences is really critical for not only golfers, but all athletes.
Hey, the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We talk about Arnold Palmer, but let's shift gears. Let's talk about Tiger Woods. How has his scandals impacted his brand? And no telling, Adam, just how much ultimately that it has cost him throughout the years.
Yeah, I mean, he still had, given some of the contracts he had in place, even his contract with Nike, which is probably his biggest contract that he has in place, that guaranteed him a certain amount of revenue, and he still generated a significant portion of revenue, even with corporate partners. For example, when Nike got out of the equipment business, they no longer made golf clubs and golf balls. They really just focused on apparel. He switched over to Bridgestone, even though he hadn't won a tournament in a long period of time, and was able to generate a significant amount of money from there. So, you know, I think the his corporate partnership deals, while they have started to run out, you know, I think he's still been able to generate a significant amount of revenue, but it's certainly less than he would have if he hadn't had all these incidents, particularly off the golf course. And combining that with his health issues, you know, one of the things that people can do to combat scandal is obviously perform well in their activity, you know, in their profession, in their sport. And Tiger Woods hasn't won a major championship since 2008, hasn't really even been that competitive in a major, arguably since 2009, or when he won PGA Tour Golfer of the Year in 2013. So, you know, it's 2017, and he, you know, obviously hasn't even competed in a tournament other than his own tournament in a very long period of time. So I think you're spot on to say that it's cost him, definitely cost him millions of dollars, but he has generated, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in corporate partnerships in the past. So, you know, again, overall not great, but I mean, recently not great, but overall he's doing okay.
Well, you know, what lessons can businesses learn? I mean, scandals, we talk about Tiger Woods, it impacts the athlete, their sport, their sponsorships. But what are the takeaways that the businesses can learn from that? Because they're investing in a lot. I mean, these are huge investments for these companies, you know, going out all in on these athletes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things. One is that they have to recognize that athletes, why people like athletes, and we talked about this a little bit in our book that you've mentioned before on your program, The Sports Strategist, Developing Leaders for a High-Performance Industry. Mm-hmm. One of the things that athletes do, athletes are able to connect authentic engagement and connections with fans that, you know, a brand on its own could not do. And that also goes, and athletes have a direct connection with the audience. And usually, you know, one of the things we have at Block 6 Analytics is a social sentiment analysis platform, which enables us to look at social media conversation. And what we find, both from an awareness perspective, an engagement perspective, and from a sentiment perspective, you know, what are people saying positive or negative things about a brand, is that tying in with the athletes often generates a much higher score, you know, with sports teams overall and athletes individually. So, you know, businesses want to make sure they find athletes that can really drive revenue growth for their brand and help them connect with customers in authentic ways and create points of differentiation between them and their competitors, where this athlete enables them to really have this dialogue with their customer. But, you know, in one of our partners now, Veritone, that's something that they also track well. We just developed this new relationship where they're able to track everything that's going on from all of these different, what they call cognitive engines. So essentially, they're able to take all of this television content and translate it into text, and then you can analyze the sentiment from that text to see what people are saying about the brand. You know, Ricky Fowler or Jordan Spieth is a good example. You know, when Ricky Fowler's playing in a tournament and they bring his name up or his commercial comes up, you can see what the text is and see, you know, how has the sentiment changed or what's the level of engagement that's occurred because he's on television. So, you know, marrying what Veritone and Block 6 Analytics new products can do really can help companies strive to get what they're looking for. But, you know, going back to the question, it really is, you know, how can this brand ambassador drive authentic engagement with the audiences that you're trying to target, and leveraging all the technology that's available to track that information so you're getting real-time updates, and that when a crisis happens, you know, you have crisis management strategies and practices in place to deal with the crisis as soon as it happens and really can see what the conversation is when crisis occurs so you know exactly how to respond.
He is the CEO of Block 6 Analytics. Check him out, block6analytics.com. That is Adam Grossman, and all I have to say is we've got to have you back because I want to take a deep dive into one of the fascinating articles that you posted about the Golden State Warriors and their historic stretch, and that you see it through a different lens and just brought some great perspective. So let's have you back here in a few weeks, and just enjoy your weekend, okay, Adam?
Absolutely. Enjoy your weekend, too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love to connect with all of our listeners. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and podcastarena.com. And we do, as promised, we've got a lot to get into in our next segment. We're going to open up our conversation with some NBA news and notes. And Summer League, it is now in the rearview mirror. And how about the Lakers? They impressed Summer League champions, and Lonzo Ball is the MVP. The future definitely looks very bright. Laker fans, Laker Nation, I know they're super excited because they are definitely headed in the right direction. We are thrilled to have back with us from ESPN Radio, that is Freddie Coleman, who is rested. He is ready after a very nice vacation. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Good to have you back, Freddie.
My pleasure. Vacation was nice, but definitely glad to be back in the saddle as we get closer and closer to football season.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. So the offseason for the Lakers has been very productive. What do you think has been the key to their success? Because, you know, winning a Summer League championship and, you know, Lonzo Ball with his outstanding performances really moves this franchise forward.
Two words, Magic Johnson, because finally they had somebody for the first time in a long time that was going to hold everybody accountable and is determined to make this work. Magic Johnson did not take over as the president of basketball operations, being in charge of the Lakers, but go in there with that magnetic smile and fail. Uh-huh. People forget this about Magic Johnson. As great as he was as a basketball player, mm-hmm. he's also a cold-blooded assassin when the time had to be right to make sure it was winning time for the Lakers.
Yeah.
So I think that's been the key to this organization, that Magic Johnson stepped in and said, this is how we're going to go about things, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. the minute that you have that from him, and he pretty much showed everybody that he meant business, where he got rid of D'Angelo Russell. He did not mind drafting Lonzo Ball, but putting Lonzo's father in his place because he said, I'm not going to put up with that. That's where things really changed for me the minute they brought Magic Johnson in and what he's been able to do or try to do ever since.
Well, the Lakers, they have a solid young core of players. Talk to me about, Freddie, how is Lonzo going to make them better?
Well, he's going to make them better from the standpoint of because of his talent. He has the ability to get to the rim. He has the ability to find people in transition. He's going to play basketball, at least try to play basketball the way that Magic Johnson wants, because Magic Johnson knows in this day and age of the NBA where you have to have that guard to have the ability to break down people and get to the rim and play up and down. That's the kind of basketball style that Magic Johnson loved that made him successful, made the Lakers successful when he was there, when he got with them in the late 70s, throughout the 80s and the early 90s. So that's what's going to make Lonzo Ball successful. Now, they're still a ways away from the playoffs. I know a lot of people are excited about the Summer League Championship. That's all well and good. But you're playing against guys that will be working for UPS or the IRS before they get on an NBA court.
Uh-huh.
So let's kind of temper the expectations there.
Uh-huh.
But automatically, you can't win in this league, in a make or miss league, Alyssa, if you don't have talented players. But they have young, talented players, and it's going to take them a little bit before we start to see the fruits of the labor that Magic Johnson wants to see from him and everybody else with that young talent.
Oh, he is back with us. We love him. Freddie Coleman, ESPN Radio, joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right. We're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, Lonzo Ball. Do you anticipate he's going to have a long career in the NBA?
I think so. And I posed this question right before I went on vacation, and I said, and I put the question out there, will he be a boom or a bust? And I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's going to be a very good player. But the one thing I think that will go beyond that, in my opinion, is his demeanor. Nothing seems to bother him. He has a great sense of himself,
mm-hmm.
but has a great sense of being a great teammate. And those things go a long, long way in a locker room, whether you're a veteran or whether you're a rookie player. A lot of people had a chance to see him deal with whatever the Hurricane LeVar Ball has been, what Magic Johnson has said, or having all that press and all that attention on him. And yet he went out there and played extremely, extremely well, even though it was a summer league. And he wasn't about him. He didn't say, look at me, look at me. It was about his teammates. Believe me, that's the one thing I didn't worry about with him. But I was really glad that a lot of people who have been dismissing him and disrespecting him, I'm glad they got a chance to see that and all the attention that he brought to the summer league, but not making it about him.
His personality, his persona, as we talk about Lonzo Ball, it seems to be completely opposite of his father.
I think there are a lot of people's personalities that are completely opposite of his dad. And believe me, I get it with LeVar Ball.
Right.
You know, he's going to do everything he can to generate that attention. I think a lot of this is designed to make sure his son does not have to go through all that pressure. So I think a lot of people have lost sight of the fact that LeVar Ball, for all his bravado, for all his machinations, he's doing everything he can to make sure his son has the best possible path to be the NBA player and the NBA superstar that dad believes his son is going to be. So he's done a great job with his son. I mean, Lonzo Ball is
okay.
a great
kid, yeah.
so do his two younger brothers. So let's give LeVar Ball credit for that. But I understand how he's been able to play the game, make people play his game and make it work, because the end game is he wants his son to be successful outside of the whole shoe deal. So far, so good for Lonzo Ball.
Oh, he is back with us. We love him. Freddie Coleman, ESPN Radio, joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right. We're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, Lonzo Ball. Do you anticipate he's going to have a long career in the NBA?
I think so. And I posed this question right before I went on vacation, and I said, and I put the question out there, will he be a boom or a bust? And I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's going to be a very good player. But the one thing I think that will go beyond that, in my opinion, is his demeanor. Nothing seems to bother him. He has a great sense of himself,
mm-hmm.
but has a great sense of being a great teammate. And those things go a long, long way in a locker room, whether you're a veteran or whether you're a rookie player. A lot of people had a chance to see him deal with whatever the Hurricane LeVar Ball has been, what Magic Johnson has said, or having all that press and all that attention on him. And yet he went out there and played extremely, extremely well, even though it was a summer league. And he wasn't about him. He didn't say, look at me, look at me. It was about his teammates. Believe me, that's the one thing I didn't worry about with him. But I was really glad that a lot of people who have been dismissing him and disrespecting him, I'm glad they got a chance to see that and all the attention that he brought to the summer league, but not making it about him.
His personality, his persona, as we talk about Lonzo Ball, it seems to be completely opposite of his father.
I think there are a lot of people's personalities that are completely opposite of his dad. And believe me, I get it with LeVar Ball.
Right.
You know, he's going to do everything he can to generate that attention. I think a lot of this is designed to make sure his son does not have to go through all that pressure. So I think a lot of people have lost sight of the fact that LeVar Ball, for all his bravado, for all his machinations, he's doing everything he can to make sure his son has the best possible path to be the NBA player and the NBA superstar that dad believes his son is going to be. So he's done a great job with his son. I mean, Lonzo Ball's
okay.
a great kid,
yeah.
So do his two younger brothers. So let's give LeVar Ball credit for that. But I understand how he's been able to play the game, make people play his game and make it work, because the end game is he wants his son to be successful outside of the whole shoe deal. So far, so good for Lonzo Ball.
Well, Lonzo Ball, here he is, only 19 years of age, and as you were talking about, just the tremendous hype, the buildup, the anticipation, you know, for Summer League, the debut of Lonzo Ball, and just it is remarkable to watch how well-prepared he is and how he has handled himself, and he didn't fold under pressure.
Well, he knew what he was getting into because this is what he wanted. It's not so much what his dad wanted for him and his two younger brothers. It's what Lonzo Ball wanted, where he always wanted to be in the NBA, and I'm sure if he had his way, he would not have gone to UCLA for 1 year to wait to get to the NBA. So he understood clearly, when you're the second pick in the draft and Magic Johnson and the Lakers drafted you, instantly you're going to be the face of that organization. And with that comes great responsibility and great accountability. But this is exactly what Lonzo Ball has wanted. This is what he has really geared everything in his life up to this point, to be in a position to be that guy, to be that franchise guy, to be that generational type player that he believes he can be. So that's why he was not going to be fazed by anything that anybody has said or that anybody has done or that people want to do or want to say about him or what to say about his dad or anything else, mainly because he's been very, very good at keeping his focus on what's important. And what's important to him right now is being a better basketball player to make the Lakers better, because if it works, he's going to get all the credit. If it doesn't work, he's going to get all the blame.
Okay, so let's look ahead. 2018, could it work with LeBron James, you know, becoming a free agent following next season? I mean, what's the possibility that he could end up in L.A.?
With LeBron James, and I said it before, listen, I'll say it again, he is a very calculating individual. Believe me, it was completely, completely on purpose that report came out in USA Today Sports about him being unhappy with the off-season moves or lack of off-season moves by the Cleveland Cavaliers. But let's be honest, LeBron James put himself and the Cleveland Cavaliers in that situation because the guys that he wanted, they signed and brought him to that basketball team, and they made the NBA Finals all 3 years that he's been back in Cleveland. So I don't think anybody wants to hear him whining and complaining about the lack of off-season moves. But also, if he believes that things are not going according to what he believes the plan should be in Cleveland, then he's going to use that as an out. He's going to exercise his out, and I think it's more than 50-50 that he'll think about going to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't think he's worried about what's going to be said when he leaves, especially when he brought the Cleveland Cavaliers in that city of championship for the first time ever in franchise organization's history, and also the first time in over 50 years in the city of Cleveland's history. So I'm not saying he's laying the groundwork or laying that path, but it wouldn't surprise me that if he believes that everything is not going according to the plan that he has set out with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he'll look elsewhere and look to go where it's going to be the best possible way for him to win a championship. And the Lakers show any kind of improvement where they're not still in rebuilding mode, that's going to be a very attractive place for him to go. If it's not, then he'll stay in Cleveland and continue to try to make that work. But believe me, LeBron James's eyes are always, always looking to see exactly what's going to be the best and easiest path to get a championship and not have to work this hard this late in his career.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, they certainly didn't get worse, but they didn't improve their situation. They added Jose Calderon and Jeff Green. Are they still the second-best team in the league, Freddie?
They're the third-best team in the league. They're still behind San Antonio and Golden State, and at the rate that the Houston Rockets are going, they may find themselves as the fourth-best team in the NBA. No one is going to challenge them in the Eastern Conference. I know Boston did a lot of things with their draft picks and everything like that, but at the same time, they're still the best team in the East, even if they did not add anybody. Now, Jeff Green is going to help them, and, yeah, they wanted to get Paul George, and they clearly understood that guy would have been an important piece, but that's not going to be the case. But they're still the best team in the Eastern Conference, and that's not changing anytime soon.
Freddie Coleman, ESPN Radio, has been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always a true pleasure to catch up. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we will talk again real soon. Thank you, Freddie.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
This is the...
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back to hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right, the start of NFL training camp is underway, and that means the countdown is on officially as we look forward to the 2017 season. There is no shortage of storylines. We have got a lot to get into. I'm looking so forward to the brand new season and always looking forward to our next guest. That is Rudy Reyes. He is the host of The Rude Dog Show, the hardest working guy in the business. Man, he has had an amazing summer. He was working it hard on the red carpet at the ESPYs, hobnobbing. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much. Look, it was a great experience. I love it. It was full of energy and great fights between Aaron Rodgers, Eric Dickerson, a Hall of Famer for the Rams. I had a chance to interview Devontae Freeman, Malcolm Jenkins. It was fantastic. I had four shows yesterday, so hardworking. Yes, I continue to plug away and obviously covering the ESPYs for SB Nation Radio.
How cool is that? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you just mentioned him. We were talking about the Packers in hour one. You think that they're going to make it all the way back to Minneapolis and get back to the Super Bowl? They're long overdue. Packer fans, Packer Nation, Rudy, they are restless.
They are. They're definitely ruthless. I had a chance to interview Mike Daniels as well, right?
Oh,
after
you did? Okay.
Devontae Freeman for the runners-up. Nobody remembers number two when you're talking about Super Bowls, unless you're the Buffalo Bills. But when you look at, except for the Bills under the bus, literally or figuratively, but
yeah,
when you look at the Green Bay Packers, Mike Daniels certainly wants to get back there. He states there are no excuses, and there shouldn't be. Aaron Rodgers is in his prime time right now. I don't believe his best years are behind him. I think they have a chance to get there.
How surprised were you, since we're on the topic of the Packers, how surprised were you that Greg Jennings blames Mike McCarthy and the defense for holding back the Packers? He seems to think that he understands why the Packers have only one Super Bowl championship with Aaron Rodgers, and in his mind, it comes down to defense and the coaching. So I was kind of surprised at that bold, bold statement.
That's something that's uncharacteristic of Greg Jennings, and that actually derives from frustration. When you talk about McCarthy and what he means to that Packers team overall on both sides of the ball defensively, I don't think they were held back. I think it was a lack of execution. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Packers in the secondary, at least in the first half of the season, weren't able to really get on pace and become the juggernaut that they need to be. And if they make those changes, they make those switches, they can certainly get back to glory in Minneapolis.
Okay, NFL training camp, boy, all of them are getting underway, and we are so thrilled to have back with us Rudy Reyes. He is the host of The Rude Dog Show, joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love to hear from our audience and all of our listeners. Connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And Rudy, why don't you reach out and talk to our audience? Where can they find you?
Oh, you can certainly find me at Rude Dog Reyes on Twitter. You can go to therudedogshow.com, and you can just show me a like on my fan page. So I'm easily accessible, and I'm always around.
All right, so Tom Brady turns 40 this summer. He made a very bold statement, Rudy, was saying he's going to play until his mid-40s, and he certainly always finds a way to get it done. He won his fifth Super Bowl ring, fourth Super Bowl MVP award last season. How much more longevity, how much more does he have in the tank? Will he be at Minneapolis?
Well, when you look at Tom Brady, the guy has done more with less. It's not as if they have extravagant wide receiver core, or at least on his side of the ball. Tom Brady, with the protection that he had, all for the minus and exception for the AFC Championship game, Super Bowl 51 against the Denver Broncos. I look at that game and I think to myself, Super Bowl 50, and I think to myself, this has got to be one of the worst offensive lines to allow those types of pressures by the Broncos to get to Tom Brady and sack him at least three times. So certainly something that Tom Brady needs to think about. Obviously, Tom Brady has the executioner in Bill Belichick to help make that a reality to keep him upright for the next 3 years at least.
Well, Rudy, this is Tom Brady's 18th season. His contract runs through 2019, and he could end up, how cool is this? It's almost Dirk-like in Dallas. I mean, he could end up playing for the same franchise for 20 years. I mean, that's just an incredible run. What do you think has been the key? You talk about how he's done so much. He has maxed out his talent and his abilities. What do you think has been the key to his longevity? His amazing
it's
wife.
It's really about preparation. I mean,
okay.
You're right. I completely agree with you. It's amazing that he's even at this point and where he's at right now. And I don't foresee him slowing down. As a matter of fact, that four-game suspension by Rodgers, you don't seem to put the fire underneath him enough so to just pick defenses apart, defensive backs, secondaries, corners, safeties. He did it all, and there's no real secret as to why he executed the way that he did. When you get slapped with cuffs on your hands for four full games in an NFL regular season, you're going to come back with revenge, and that's exactly what he did.
Great point. Hey, Rudy Reyes is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love when he's on the program. He is the host of the Rude Dog Show, brings great perspective and energy. And, of course, NFL training camps open this week, which signals the official countdown to the start of the 2017 season. And one of the guys, Rudy, I want you to talk to me about is Cam Newton. Is he going to have a bounce back year? Is he going to rebound in 2017?
Well, I look at Cam Newton, and I look at what he was doing, and very sporadic last year, a lot of incompletions, a lot of forced throws, and, of course, did not have that type of protection. And you could probably blame the dabbing, maybe the left arm, maybe the right arm, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But either way, well, what he really needs to do is focus on execution. Now, and I was mentioning yesterday on another show mm-hmm. that when you have somebody like Christian McCaffrey, that gives you a very deadly weapon that could really put forth a solid run fake situation where you pretend you're handing it off to McCaffrey. Cam Newton sneaks it up the middle for that very needed first down. Cam Newton just needs to focus on the game, deviate from making a showboat of himself, and to really hone in on his skill set. I think he'll be much better this year. Last year, a very weak quarterback rating in just over 75%. So overall, he needs to really find a way to utilize those tools around him. But what doesn't help is that they decided to fire one of their the general manager right before training camp. I don't call that a real viable way to go, and in all fairness, I don't think it was the right timing by the Panthers. But seemingly today, in fact, hired a gentleman to take his place. So we'll see what happens there in Panther Town.
Okay, Rudy Reyes with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are here in the state of Texas, of course, right here in Houston. So talk to me about the Texans, their quarterback situation. You talk about a revolving door, dynamic change, personality changes. They've had a lot of different quarterbacks in their 15 seasons.
Yeah, no, you have to consider that when you're talking about quarterback rotation, the movement, who's your backup. You have to make sure that whoever you put in that position is able to be the man. Case in point, talking to Kelvin Beachum yesterday, now on his third team in the NFL, mm-hmm. we're just still scrambling with issues in regards to who's going to be under center. But Kelvin Beachum assured me that regardless of who's under center, he's going to do his job. And in all fairness, I think NFL teams will probably take a page out of his book in order to help make sure that whoever's under center gets a valid protection. But at the quarterback position itself, those guys need to execute, really make sure that they perform to their best ability and make their impact known early and often, keep that starting position.
What is your confidence level, Rudy, in Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson, when you're talking about the national championship game, his poise, he was down over 20 points in the first half. Just a phenomenal comeback. We're talking collegiate football. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about his professionalism moving forward. And look, let's make no mistake here. When you're talking about a guy who enters the NFL, regardless of what position, professionalism doesn't always follow them. Case in point, Ezekiel Elliott getting involved in a DUI and a bar fight all in the same week. So as far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, he needs to keep himself clean, upright on the field as well as off the field. The only concern I have for him is from a character standpoint. I tried interviewing him at the red carpet at the ESPY Awards. Didn't really see a whole lot of it wasn't really conversational with a lot of people, mm-hmm. and there was some buzz in regards to he's not very user-friendly from an interview standpoint. So he basically snubbed me.
Okay. All righty. Hey, Rudy Reyes with us. Just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We hit on the Texans. Let's head up north. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Year two for Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott. Wow. Ezekiel Elliott, you talk about a guy that's been making headlines for all the wrong reasons. He needs to stay out of those bars late at night, right?
Yeah, no. He needs to keep his mindset on the right track. It's football season. And sometimes for most people, it's never in off season. But for him, he needs to really keep himself clean and upright. Use better decision making processes. Don't fall into the trap of, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. Think about what you're going to do before you do it. Execute professionally. Be a professional. If you can perform on the field, take that performance off the field in everyday life and find yourself out of the headlines, because right now he's in it for the wrong reasons.
Well, Rudy, the Cowboys, they certainly have a very bright future, but as we look at some of the offseason moves that took place, there was a lot of movement within the Cowboys. Do you like the changes that have taken place in order to put them into a position to get back to the Super Bowl?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I was trying to talk to Orlando Scandrick, and he was basically upset at the fact that they didn't get back to where they wanted to be, where they needed to be. And he didn't want to be called the elder statesman, even though in all reality, that's who he is. They lost a lot of key pieces.
Really?
With Eric Church. They lost a lot of great guys in that secondary, in that defensive backfield. So the gelling needs to happen early and often for the Cowboys, and unless they can get back to what they were doing last year and playing extremely well, executing, forcing fumbles, interception returns, things of that nature, they really have an uphill battle right now having Orlando Scandrick. But if anybody can do it, Orlando Scandrick can help get these guys on board to make a run to the Super Bowl.
Okay, Rudy Reyes with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Got to ask you this, since we are talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo's retirement, is he really retired, or is he just taking some time off and going to hang out with Jim Nantz in the broadcasting booth?
When you can get rid of a guy like Phil Simms out of the broadcast,
I mean, really?
Phil Simms.
Jeez.
I look at Phil Simms like this myself. Look, the guy's good, but in all fairness, there was so much buzz around how people did not like him on. And I think Tony Romo's more like on a hiatus situation. I know he signed a multi-year contract with CBS, but I look at Jim Nantz, and they're really good friends. They were friends before he ever exited the NFL. They were friends throughout his
career. They're golfers.
Yeah, exactly. They're golf buddies. So it was no big shocker that he's going to be there. But in all fairness, when you think about a guy who's been a leader off the field, he's and a leader on the field, I think this is suiting him just fine. And if he finds himself in good situations and having a great CBS season, I don't foresee him leaving the booth for going back to any NFL team, especially the Cowboys.
Okay, so we hit on the Cowboys. You are in Cali, so let's head out to the AFC West. Talk to me about the Oakland Raiders. I mean, they really seem to be primed for a very special season.
I had the Oakland Raiders picked. I really did.
Okay.
I had the Oakland Raiders picked to win the AFC West last year. Of course, the untimely injury to David Carr, and I think, okay, now what? You know, now what do they do? And then down goes McGloin, and now they have their third-string quarterback in, who's never seen an NFL rep in
incredible,
his life. And it was down to 50% the minute McGloin got onto the field, and then the third string, I said 25%. There's no way. So when the AFC West, very tight down the ropes between them and the Kansas City Chiefs. And, I'll be honest with you, between Carr coming back, and I think he's a full-blown, he's fully blown and ready for even the playoffs. The playoffs start today, he would be ready, barred injury, of course, but between Amari Cooper, between, you know, getting the guys offensively to work together, the draft picks, Khalil Mack on the other side of the ball, making his presence known on every single snap. They did some great moves in the offseason. I like this Raiders team, and in all fairness, I still don't see anybody, and I'm not taking any credit away from the Kansas City Chiefs, but Alex Smith's not the guy in Kansas City, and I don't believe they can lead them past the Oakland Raiders and David Carr moving forward.
Our NFL News and Notes conversation continues with Rudy Reyes, host of the Rude Dog Show, after this quick commercial break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Training camp, it is underway, and we have got you covered. We are visiting with Rudy Reyes, host of the Rude Dog Show. Okay, well, the Oakland Raiders in 2016, they were 12-4 at home. They were 6-2. You know, one of the things as we talk about Derek Carr, he's going to have to make an adjustment to a new coordinator, and you have to wonder what kind of impact that will have.
Well, you always want to make sure that you get on board with your coordinator very early and often, especially when you lose a guy that has done so many great things while you're with him. It's really about a relationship change. You're really shifting gears. You're really shifting the attitude, the personality, the winning mentality. And if you get on board with your offensive coordinator less sooner than later, that chemistry will show during the beginning of the regular season instead of when you're the Buffalo Bills last year when they fired the Ryans and they got rid of, you know, a lot of other components. Not the same-looking Bills team because they weren't able to build that relationship and form a dichotomy prior to the season ever starting. So I think the Raiders could certainly tackle this early and often and allow David Carr and the new OC to really take shape and to make wins as they move forward into the regular season.
He is Rudy Reyes, host of The Rude Dog Show. You can check him out online. Of course, he's joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. My final question for you is, Rudy, okay, 2017, the season, the countdown is on. Who is your pick? Who's going to win it all? Will the Patriots repeat?
That's so tough. And because the laws.
Come on, Rudy. Bring it. Bring it.
Look, the Steelers were contenders last year, getting picked apart by the New England Patriots because Bill Belichick is such an artist and sends his brush to work, that being Tom Brady, really took advantage of the Steelers and that young secondary with Sean Davis and Artie Burns in the secondary. I see the Steelers with Martavis Bryant, as long as he stays clean, he stays upright, and I mean that on and off the field, mm-hmm. and as long as him and Ben Roethlisberger can get on the same page, I really foresee the Steelers really making a run and getting to the Super Bowl, and they have a better record in the Super Bowl winning than they do losing.
Okay, so Rudy, the Steelers, interesting, so the Super Bowl is in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. You going to pack your parka and head up there?
Oh, absolutely. That and a full entourage.
That, of course, is Rudy Reyes breaking it down with our NFL news and notes. And a very special thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I will be off next week for vacation, and we will see you in the month of August.